Well, 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 here we are again. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to today's webcast. Hi, Barry.
Hey, mate.
So, hope everybody is having a good week. I am.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you. The sun is shining in Canada. I think our temperature here, and of course, you know, the older I get, the more I talk about the weather, but it's a balmy 7 degrees Celsius, which is just glorious for us.
Well, we're up to 15 today, so that's pretty good going.
Well, that's I'll take 15 for sure. That's
yeah, awesome. I'll tell you what, so will we. So welcome everyone, wherever you are in the world, whatever time of the day it is. We're just glad to be together again for another webcast. So
another adventure.
Another adventure. Yeah. So Barry, I've noticed you've been getting around a little bit on Facebook lately. Live broadcast, live streaming. Yesterday, the weekend coming up. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of, you know, have computer, will travel. Yeah. So yeah, yesterday I was with a friend of mine, Corey Mullen. He's a young guy that I met in the school ministry in Toronto years ago, and he just has this passion for the revelation of the Father's love. So he just wanted to hang out with me. And last Friday I was speaking to a bunch of students in France, and this Friday I'm speaking again to a new friend who's from Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And she has a different stream of influence that I'm looking forward to connecting there. And yeah, and I'm here today with you and everywhere that we are broadcasting. So yeah, it never gets old, brother.
It never does. We're heading towards 10 and a half years of doing this. In the summer it'll be 11 years. So you know, if you guys who are online with us, you just want to put in the chat in the comments where you're from, that's great. We've got Holland, Denmark, Austria, brilliant, welcome. So yeah, it's good.
And I just want to do a big shout out to Mark and his really, you know, nice background that of course Mark and I, you know, we always are always improving and tweaking just ever so
tweaking,
slightly.
Yes.
So he just, if you notice the purple background, I was just commenting how much I enjoyed it. So maybe a thumbs up to Mark and say way to go for that. You know, we're just cheer us on, you know, and we're like boys in our toys, and you know, we're always just trying to find kind of the next little thing,
the next little tweak.
So
I could put on the emergency services of the lighting. It comes with a few presets of different lighting effects. None of them are really suitable for a webcast, but they're quite fun.
It was funny because Mark was showing me some of the presets, and I think, you know, that certainly if we were going to be having a webcast with some party music and, you know, getting ready to celebrate, he's the man. He's got these flashing lights behind him, and you know, he can DJ the whole thing for us. So that's awesome.
It's fun. It's all fun, isn't it? Yeah. So yes. So you were saying you're off around the world. I'm off to Switzerland just over a week's time. And I was in Finland the other week, so it does have it. There are a few advantages to this lockdown thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can I just mention a couple of seminars I got coming up?
For sure.
So I just want to mention a couple of things we got lined up for the next few weeks. We've got, mainly for those people in the UK, we're doing a Father Heart Family Day on Saturday, the 17th of April. I'm doing it with Richard and Nia Jones, who are based in the UK, and we're going to be largely streaming this live to the Father Heart UK Facebook page, but we're going to have a virtual coffee break in the middle of the day where we'll use the breakout rooms on Zoom, and instead of having a coffee break all together like we would do if we were live, we're going to just to have this virtual coffee break where it'll be a bit of an opportunity to catch up and talk to friends. Now, because it's live streaming, obviously anybody and everybody is really, really welcome to join us. But the virtual coffee break is going to be given priority to people in the UK, so that they can have a catch up with friends and so on. If we've got space, we'll then be able to let other people in. But you do need to register for that, and you can do that at fatherheart.uk/family day. So that's coming up on Saturday, the 17th of April. I've called it a family day, but it's actually a family morning. It's from 10 o'clock till about 1 o'clock. And going to do that with Richard and Nia. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then just want to give you some advance notice of the next series of seminars that I'm running. This is actually, it's called Embraced, and it's a two-part series. The first part of the series is Embracing a Childlike Heart, which I'm doing with Barry, 19th and 20th of April. And then the second part I'm doing with Wynette in May, and that's called The Embrace of Comfort. So like before, it's going to be live streamed to YouTube, two sessions a day with a Zoom question and answer ministry session at the end of the time. So you need to register for that so you get sent all of the links for the YouTube. If you can't watch it live, you are, of course, very welcome to register and then watch the YouTube sessions later. So that's a little series called Embraced, which is in two parts, April and May. And all of the detail is on the website at fathertoyou.com/embraced. And really just looking forward to welcoming as many of you as possible. I know a number of you have already done the seminars that we've been doing, but this is going to be slightly different feel, a bit more thematic. And you know, you're obviously all very welcome, and of course you're very welcome to share this with your friends as well. So that's my notices, Barry.
Yeah, I love the title Embraced, and it just I really believe that that both bookends to the series will really be kind of around the embrace of the Father, I believe, for all of us that are a part of it. So, yeah.
And just one comment I see. Norman says, haircut mark. Yep, the clippers went a little bit wild, and this was the result. But a bit more radical than I would have liked. But hey, it will keep me going for the rest of lockdown. So, there we go.
I think it looks great, Mark.
Thank you.
If you want to, you know, we can have a fundraiser and maybe do you know what a mohawk haircut is?
Maybe
we could do a fundraiser.
For you, absolutely.
I think I'm right with you on that one. Better than I could.
So, you know, these things have to happen from time to time, but hey, there we go.
There you go.
So, we got anything else we need to talk about, Barry?
No, I think we're good to go. I'm looking forward to this is a what I understand is a new talk, right, for you?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
It's one of those things. It's like the title Embraced and the way the seminars came together. It was I woke up in the middle of the night a few nights ago, and I was just, I know you understand, Barry, but I was just totally awake, and it was like ding. Yeah. And it kind of looked a little bit light outside, and I looked at the clock, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. But I just sort of was pondering things, and the title Embraced and the way I just talked about the seminars, that came together. And then another morning, this talk kind of came together. So we'll see where we go.
Cheers, yeah, mate.
Do you want to pray for us, Barry, as we start, and then I'll kick it off. Thanks.
Father, we thank you that we are in the center of your embrace, whether we are aware of it or not. And tonight, Father, I just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that just resides deep in our hearts, that there would just be a greater awakening to your nearness, a greater awakening to your involvement in our every part of our life, everything that we might even seem to think as insignificant. Father, you are so involved. And as Mark talks about surrender tonight and whatever that means to be able to yield any of the mechanisms in our own heart that are maybe afraid to let go, I just pray, Father, that there would just be a special impartation of your grace tonight for each one of us to be able to just trust you with our lives and to be able to trust you with our care. And I pray a blessing on Mark as he shares this message for the first time, that Father, things that you have put on his heart that he has not yet been able to put words to, Father, even as he's speaking, Father, would you just cause him to speak the words that come directly from your heart, just to and that he might even be surprised at some of the things he shares, just because he's a little boy with a big daddy. So thank you, Father, that you want to surprise us all again with your presence and your love and your comfort and your encouragement tonight. And we just open our hearts to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Barry. I'll see you in a bit.
See you in a bit.
So, welcome to the webcast, everyone. I just want to talk tonight or today about surrender. And I don't think I've ever spoken about surrender before. But like I said, I was just awake the other morning, and I'd been reading something a few days ago, and I'll explain the effect that had on me. But I was reading something, and just as I was reading this article, it really started me thinking, and the only word that came to me was surrender. And it just got me thinking and just mulling over some stuff. Because obviously this is not something we talk about a lot. I don't think Barry and I have talked about this in the 11 years nearly that we've been doing the webcast. But I just want to sort of unpack it a little bit for us. But normally we think of surrender in terms of a conflict, where we are up against an enemy, and we associate surrender with losing. We've given everything we can in the fight, but we've lost or we're losing. And we know that the only option is to surrender. And then in that surrender, in a military sense, of course, you would be taken over by the victorious party, the victorious country. But so really what we've got in that traditional understanding of surrender is, we're the underdog. If we've lost, we're the underdog and someone else is the champion. And of course, historically, the underdog, the loser, would have been taken in as a slave. And just as I was thinking about this, I remember when I was at school, I was 17 at the time. I was at the top end of the school in the sixth form. And I got into a fight with one of the other guys in the school, which was really a pretty stupid thing to do, because this guy was the best athlete in the school. He was the strongest guy. And he really, really fit, really, really strong. And I wasn't, I was the other end of the scale. And we had this argument, and I'm still convinced to this day that I was right in the argument, but it ended up being a fight. And really, once we got into a fight, there was only one outcome, and it wasn't looking very good for me. But what happened at my school was, if two boys got into a fight, everybody else would form like a boxing ring, like a ring around you, and they would cheer on the person they wanted to win the fight. Well, of course, everybody was cheering on the other guy. and nobody was cheering on me. Thankfully, it wasn't a very long fight because he won very easily and very quickly, and I ended up on the floor and, you know, blood all over the place and all that sort of stuff, you know. Two 17-year-olds fighting, and you can imagine. But he, you know, he leaned down in front of me and pointed his finger in my face. The victor, the champ, the strong guy. And I was the wimp on the floor, the weak guy. And he pointed his finger in my face and he said, "Might is always right. Just remember that." You know, and in that moment, it was a very humiliating moment. I thought I had some friends around me, but when everybody started chanting the name of the person they wanted to win the fight, nobody was calling out my name. And, you know, that was a classic case of me being a loser. And I think I did give in, you know, I said those words, you know, I was on the floor being pummeled and punched and kicked. And I just said, "I give in, you know, I give in, I surrender." And, you know, even in a boys' boarding school, there was a little bit of decency about the rules. When you said, "I give in, I surrender," the fight stopped. But I was clearly the loser. And, you know, in that moment, in those few minutes, my strength, my own physical strength hadn't been enough. However hard I tried, there was no way I could win that fight. I'd lost. I'd failed. And, you know, what happens when we kind of look at surrender in that context? We end up as a failure. And therefore, we end up with the fear of failure. And we end up living in shame. We've fought a fight which has all been based on our performance. It's been based on my struggle. It's been based on me. And, you know, when I lose, when I fought in my own strength and I lose, it speaks of failure. It speaks of being a loser. You know, and someone stronger than you has come out as the champion. And you know what, if, I don't know whether you've ever been in a fight like I've just described, but you kind of want to crawl away into a hole and not speak to anyone for the rest of the day. And, you know, of course, in a boys' boarding school, you wouldn't want to let anybody see you crying or any sign of weakness or anything like that. And, you know, I just remember crawling away. And it was a long, long time before I wanted to talk to anybody again. And I think very often we can see surrender in that sense of being a loser and, you know, being the person who's lost. But I just thinking about this over the last few days, and I think for us, surrender is not about losing. It's not about a loss, but actually it can be a gain. It can be the biggest gain perhaps we can get hold of. It's like, I think, when we come to the end of ourselves and we realize that there is someone bigger and greater than us. And this person who is bigger and greater than us is not our enemy. He's not our foe. He's not. So there's no sense of conflict. You know, I think we traditionally see surrender in terms of a conflict and so on. But what I want to talk about today is that we come to someone who is bigger and stronger, and we want to give ourselves to that person's strength and that person's power, because we realize that actually our strength and our power is no good. I'm not talking about a sense of conflict. I'm not talking about a sense of being a loser. I'm not talking about a sense of fear or a sense of shame. I'm talking about something that we do voluntarily, because, you know, we can see that instead of being forced into a corner, we, in surrendering to the Father, we're actually seeing a door open up for us to walk forward into freedom. And as I've been thinking about this word surrender over the last few days, the overriding sense I've had in myself is this is not about failure, this is not about fear, but this is about freedom. This is me putting my life in the hands of someone who is stronger and someone who is better, someone who is not going to enslave me, but someone who is going to set me free, someone who's going to release me into freedom, someone who can look after me better than I can look after myself. And I guess that's a very different way of looking at surrender. It's not the way we would look at it naturally, but it's a journey of gaining something rather than being pushed into the corner and being the loser. There may be loss along the way, but what we gain is greater. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said he counts everything a loss. He counts everything as rubbish for the greater glory of knowing Christ. In fact, the word he uses for rubbish is the word we would use for dung. You know, I count everything as dung, as manure, for the sake of laying hold of Christ. And so, as I've just been thinking about this over the last few days, surrender is recognizing that everything is just manure, dung. And anything that we do in our own strength is so insignificant to the freedom that the Father wants to release us into. You know, Paul calls it the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And so I don't want us to associate this word surrender with loss or failure or being beaten up or being the loser. I want us to see this as actually being something that is the pathway of releasing us into a life that will be easier and will be more fulfilling, because we found someone greater and someone stronger than ourselves. We found someone who can look after you better than you can look after yourself. And so for me, surrender leads me to a place of contentment, that I can give up. I can stop striving. I can stop seeking, because I have found the enough. You know, I found the thing that is enough for me, and I don't need to seek after anything else. As I surrender myself into the hands of the Father, as I surrender myself into the embrace of the Father, I can be content, because I found the thing that is enough. As you know, as you can tell from talking about the seminars a few moments ago, the title Embraced came to me in the middle of the night. And, you know, both of these two parts, you know, embracing a childlike heart and the embrace of comfort, they are so interwoven. You know, it strikes me, and this is one of the things we'll be exploring in the seminars, I can only really receive and live in the embrace of comfort if I've embraced a childlike heart. You see, this to me is the surrender that I'm talking about. Is like, I can give up because my Father is stronger. My Father is bigger. My Father is more capable than I am. He is more able. He will look after me perfectly. And you know, I think to embrace that, you've got to have a childlike heart. Otherwise, the adult sophistication and the brain, it starts to take over, and you start to think, no, 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 that's not going to work. How's that going to work? I can't let myself go. You know, I've got to work it out. I've got to plan it. I've got to prepare. I've got to think it. You know, and we get into that cycle again of striving and performance, and we lose the contentment that I believe the Father wants us to live in. So for me, the more we have a childlike heart, the more we can be content. And that contentment is a surrender. It's saying, Father, I know you. I know you. I trust you. I believe in you. I believe you can do this better than I can do it myself. See, that's what a child does. A child really thinks, well, I don't even think a child thinks about it. A child just knows that their parents can do it best. And so they just let their parents do it. You know, they just know that things will happen. They just know that they'll be looked after. They know that there's that security. And they are content. And I think the more we become content like that, the more we have that childlike heart, the more we are opening ourselves to walk the walk of being comforted. You know, if you are kind of pretending to be one of the wise and learned, it's very difficult to be comforted, because comfort is something that comes from outside of us into us. It's something we receive. We receive the Father's comfort. The God of all comfort pours his comfort into our hearts. And to be comforted, you've got to be vulnerable. You've got to be open. You've got to be wanting that resource from outside of you. And I just think these two topics go so well together. And I'm really looking forward to exploring them more with Barry and Wynette, and taking just, you know, a couple of days in April, a couple of days in May. And, you know, I really would just encourage you. I really believe we're going to go on a journey over those two groups of seminars. We're going to go on a journey of putting a childlike heart and comfort together in a way perhaps we haven't done. And, you know, as a result, I just really believe that we will gain, we will pick up, we will live in more of that childlike, comforted way of life. And so for me, surrender is about contentment. It's about saying, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up my striving. I'm going to give up my seeking, because I found the pearl of great price. We often say this on the webcast, that this revelation of the Father's love is finding the pearl of the great price. And it's like, it's enough. It's all I need. It's all you need. It's all we need. And we don't need to seek anything else. We don't need to try and build up anything else, because in him, being held in that embrace of love is enough. And so for me, surrender is contentment. Surrender is finding that place of contentment where we can rest in the Father's arms. We fight, we strive for more, because there's a hole in our heart. And we're always seeking to try and fill that hole with something. False comforts. Food, sex, drugs, rock and roll, wrong relationships, possessions, job, career, financing, family even. You know, we try and fill the hole in our life. And excuse me, we're constantly striving and we're not content. But when we become whole, we no longer need to fight. We no longer need to strive, because the hole in our heart has been filled with the wholeness of his presence coming in. We find rest, we find contentment, we find freedom, we find satisfaction. We discover that we're not the loser, but we're the victor. That we've not suffered a humiliating defeat. We've not been taken over by another. We've not become a slave, but we've been we've been set free, that we found a victory that we didn't know was ours. And it's a victory that comes not out of striving, not out of performance. It's a victory that comes out of rest. It's a victory that comes out of being content. I don't know how well I'm explaining this, but I hope you're catching the point that surrender is not about failure, but surrender is about rest. It's about contentment. It's us coming to the Father and saying, Father, I just want to give you my life. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to surrender my ambitions to you. Whatever those ambitions are, they can be very good things. They can be ambitions in career. They can be ambitions in a family. They can be ambitions in finance. They can be ambitions of, you know, where we want to get to in 6 months or a year or whatever. And some of those can be good, but the trouble is those ambitions can drive us. And they can push us on from one target to the next target. And we become, I think being driven is very, very subtle. You know, not everybody is an A-type personality that is driven from the moment they're born. You know, not everybody's like that. But each one of us can be subtly driven by the hole inside of us trying to find some form of satisfaction. And in some subtle way, that can lead to performance. It can lead to striving. It can lead to us doing things in our own effort. But when we say, Father, I can never be enough. I can never have enough. I can never do enough in my own strength. When we get to that place of recognition, and we can say, Father, you are the enough. You are enough for me. And that's when we let go and we let him take over. And when he takes over, he doesn't enslave us. He doesn't make us a prisoner, like we would think of in a traditional military sense, where you are a loser and you're taken over and there's terms and conditions that you have to comply with. When we let go and let him, what we are doing is we are leaning into a place of rest. And that unlocks a freedom in our heart. Surrender is letting go. Of course it's letting go. It's letting go of something inside of us, but we gain something much greater. We gain something much better than the things we've let go of. Like Paul, we count all these things dung, manure, rubbish, for the sake of gaining Christ and being in Christ. Yeah. Paul talks so often about being in Christ. We are in Christ. And where is he? He is in the Father. So when we are in Christ, we are in the Father. And that's a tremendous place of security. And yeah, I want to live more and more in the Father's embrace. I want to live more and more in that embrace of love. His arms holding me. That's got to be the best place to be. It's like, why wouldn't I want to be there? And to step into that embrace means we have to let go of that striving, let go of that engine that whirs so fast. And I don't know that that's necessarily always easy. I think particularly when we've been conditioned and, you know, there's a lot of rejection and we want to make ourselves look good, we want to be someone, it's very hard to get to that place of really, really being able to let go and rest. But if we can see that there is someone greater, someone bigger, someone who can do it better than us, someone who can look after me better than I can look after myself, then maybe we can just take that small step and say, Father, I don't know if I can, but I want to. I want to trust my life into your hands. And I think sometimes that's all we need to do. You know, sometimes people on schools, they say to me, Mark, I don't know if I can, but I want to. And for me, that's good enough. That desire that I want to, it's just taking that first step and say, yeah, let's just take that first step. And so tonight you might be thinking, yeah, I want to surrender, but I don't know if I can. For me, that's good enough. Yeah, I want to. It's that desire in our heart that's beginning to recognize and say, Father, you are the one who is enough. You are the enough for me. You are bigger, you are stronger, you are more capable than I am. You can do a better job than I can. So, surrender is weakness. Surrender is recognizing that I am weak. Like Paul said, you know, I can do nothing. Paul prayed that the thorn in his flesh would be taken away. He says, three times I asked the Lord to take it away. You know, this was the messenger of Satan, he says. Three times I asked for it to be taken away, but it obviously doesn't seem to have been taken away. But that thorn in his flesh was turned into something good. It was turned into the fact that it was through that that Paul recognized his own weakness. And through that recognition of his own weakness, the power of Christ could be made known in him. So surrender is weakness. But it's not a weakness that leads to shame. It's not a weakness that leads to failure. But it's an embracing of weakness that leads to the power of God being made known. His goodness for me, his goodness for you, is better than my pride or your pride or my independence and your independence. His goodness surpasses anything I can do, anything I can achieve. He doesn't want us to surrender so he can condemn us or judge us. Our surrender leads to our freedom. It leads to the glorious freedom of the sons of God being released in us. I read this thing the other day, and I was reading this article, and it saddened me as I read it. It talked about a great man of God who made a mistake. And I just read that and I was so sad. But you know, whenever I read something like that, I don't point the finger at the other person. I don't want to judge. It makes me look at my own life. And I think, you know, because I think I never want to be consumed with my own greatness. Because whenever we are consumed with our own greatness can overtake us. And you know the little proverb, it says, pride comes before a fall. And if we become consumed by our own greatness, or a feeling of greatness, or a feeling of, I can do this, then the next thing that can happen is that we get tripped over. And I just was reading this article last week, and in the middle of the night I was thinking about it, and I just said, Father, I just want to stay little. I just want to stay little. You know, I never want a sense of my own greatness or my own ability. Not that I have got any greatness, you know, but I don't want that to take me over. I just want to stay little. I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. You know, the person I know, and I really, really mean this, the person I know who has the most childlike heart is that man, Barry Adams. You know, I see that and I think, yes, that's what it looks like. And just that dependency and that rest on the Father. And I think, yeah, that's what I want to do. I think Barry shows us how we can stay little, because he is little. And that's what I want to do. I want to stay little. And I, for me, I think this is the key. Excuse me. This is the key of surrender, is to stay little. And just to live in that childlike simplicity, where we can be picked up by our big dad, and where we can let him carry us. It saddens me, it grieves me so much that so much of Christianity today is about performance. It's about looking good. It's about, you know, whatever. And somewhere along the line, we've along the road, we've lost what it is to enter the kingdom as little children. It's the only way. Jesus says many times, the only way you can enter the kingdom is with a childlike heart. And yet we see so little of that. But yet Jesus says that's the only way. And I think we get that childlike heart by surrendering our sophistication, our wise and learnedness, our adultness. You know, I've got it all together. We think we've got it all together, but we don't really have it all together, do we? We know that in our heart of hearts. But as we let go of all of that, as we let go of the me, as we let go of me, we find him. Jesus said, unless you humble yourself, unless you change. And that word change is, it's comes from the root word convert. You know, we say we're converted, don't we, when we become a Christian. I was converted at the age of 10. What that means is I was walking in this direction and I turn round. I was converted and I walk in this direction. Jesus uses the same word. Unless you change, unless you are converted. You know, we're walking in this direction of trying to be wise and learned. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. You've got to convert. You've got to go through a conversion experience. And you've got to walk in this direction. And he says this direction is a journey of humility. And it's a journey of having a childlike heart. That's the surrender I'm talking about. I'm going to bring Barry back on. That's the posture of a surrendered heart. Father, I just want to stay little because I know that you are bigger and stronger and you are much more able to do it. You are much better at looking after me than I am of looking after myself. And so, Father, we just come in that place of humility tonight.
Yeah.
We come in that place of humility. And we go, Father, just in our hearts, even right now, we want to go through that conversion experience. We might have been through that conversion experience once, twice, many, many times. I really believe we have to keep on going through that conversion experience. Mm. And Father, we just want to go through that conversion experience and come as a child, where we surrender to your goodness and your greatness and your power being worked in us and through us. Where we recognize that actually we can do nothing. Mm. But as we rest in you, you can do everything. And so, Father, I just ask for all my brothers and sisters today that in this moment, however hard or difficult it might be, if we've got that, I want to, that's good enough. that desire in our heart just to come as a little child and say, Father, I can't, but you can. This is not about fear. This is not about shame. This is not about being a loser. This is all about being released into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. So, Father, just pour your love into our hearts right now. Pour that comforting love into our hearts, that we would know we're held in your arms. Amen.
Yeah. Wow. Well, my brother, that was so good. It was very rich. And, you know, I think of Jesus and in the sense of his context of weakness in John 5, verse 19 and 20, when he said the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. But the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. And it was in a context of relationship. His weakness, his dependence, his surrender to his Father's will was all based on that his Father was a loving Father who was good and kind, and that he could just absolutely surrender every amount of strength and capability that he had in his own being and submit to his loving Father, because his Father loved him.
Yeah.
He was showing him everything that he was doing. And even on the cross, you know, when he was suffering such unimaginable pain, when he said those words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And what a demonstration of trust on the cross. And one of the things that I read, actually a couple of different articles about those words that Jesus said on the cross, when he said, Father, into your hands do I commit my spirit, it was a child's prayer. Hebrew children would pray at night, when they would go to bed, they would commit their spirit into God's hands. And so it's just such an amazing picture of Jesus on the cross and suffering unimaginable pain and just being able to submit and surrender to his loving Father. So I just say yes and amen, and I just pray a blessing, Father, on on your sons and daughters around the world. The things that they're trying to carry, trying to be managed, trying to anticipate what can go wrong, trying to figure out how the next step in their life and provision and health and all those things, Father, it's way too big for us. It always has been way too big. Father, would you just give us the grace today to be able to cast every care upon you, because you care for us. And I just ask, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, there would be a greater awakening to love tonight, a greater awakening to your fathering, your attentiveness to us, your providing nature to us. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And as Mark said, that we would be able to, in a beautiful moment of surrender, Father, we commit these things. We commit our worries to you. We commit our fears to you. We commit our doubts to you. We commit our discouragement to you, our disillusionment to you, our exhaustion. Father, we just commit our exhaustion to you. Would you pick us up, Abba? Could you just put us on your shoulders and give us a view of your kingdom that we could never see in human effort? Just for love's sake, just because you are our dad. And you are delighted to give each and every one of us your kingdom.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you that when you see us, you see Jesus. We are in the Son, and the Son is in you. By virtue of our the union between the Father and the Son. We are in you. So, Abba, we just do the best we can tonight. But, Father, help us to release and rest in your care. In Jesus' name. Wow, that was amazing, my brother.
Thank you. Wow. We're back next week, I guess. And next
week... Do you want to talk a little bit about Richard?
Yeah, next week we have, as a special guest on the show... special guest on the... Terrible words. Next week, as a special guest on the webcast, we have Richard and Nia Jones from the UK. They're doing a family day in April that I mentioned as well. Richard and Nia, for many, many years, lived in Malaysia and were really sort of leading a team over in Malaysia and Singapore. They moved back to the UK a few years ago. Obviously, the last year, they've not been traveling as much and... like the rest of us, but now I contacted Richard and asked him if he'd like to do the webcast, and he said yes. So he and him and Nia will be joining us. I'm not sure if it's one of them or both of them, but we'll find out. Just really looking forward to what they're going to bring. They're a great couple. I really, really love them. And they, for a number of years in the early days, they led INS, the three-month school, before Das and Rani led it. And so, you know, many people will probably know them. But I think they have a real... They carry this revelation, but they have a pastoral heart of, you know, of gathering people to the Father, which is a gift I think is just wonderful. So... next week, same time, same place, they'll be with us. And awesome. We will be there too, I guess, in the background.
Yeah. Cheering them on.
Cheering them on. So everybody, thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week. Bless you.
Bye-bye.